T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Friday morning, 9 o'clock hour. Time to bring on our buddy Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Mike, we are doing great. Mike, totally away from some of the stuff you have that's really good that we want to talk about, including Carson Wentz in just a second. Specialists getting into the Hall of Fame. Devin Hester, University of Miami player down here who's from South Florida. A Hall of Famer at some point or no?
I think so, just because, number one, it's such a unique position that isn't represented in the Hall of Fame. And I think that he was so dominant at the position. You know, he's one of those guys that you game planned against, that you prepared for, that you tried to avoid putting yourself in a position where you're going to lose the game because of him. I think the impact he had, the records he set, I think he'll have a spot at some point.
Yeah, the Devin Hester situation with us, I just said, there's two place kickers in the Hall of Fame. There's a punter in the Hall of Fame. He was just the best at what he did. I know that he didn't have a position. He didn't play DB. He wasn't a wide receiver, or he wasn't whatever they tried to make him do. But what he did, he was the best. He's not a first ballot guy probably, but he's got to get in for what he did, how many touchdowns he scored, and how much he changed the game for the Bears all those seasons.
You know, I remember the story that Tony Dungy tells before Super Bowl 41 in Miami, when the Colts were playing the Bears. They had decided that they were not going to kick to Devin Hester. They weren't going to put themselves in position to let Hester beat them. And then the night before the game, he said, you know, you can't run scared. We're kicking it to him. And they did. And he scored a touchdown on the first kickoff.
Right.
But the Colts managed to overcome that.
Hey, we want to ask you about the 18 game. Everybody's got strong opinions. Well, the players will want 18 regular season games because they make a couple extra high-end paychecks and not preseason paychecks. And others are going, no, it's too long. These guys are getting banged up with 16. How the hell are we going to play 18? How do you think, when it's all said and done, whether it's the NFLPA or the owners, you think they get 18 games, Mike?
I think the owners want 18 games badly enough to do what they have to do to get 18 games. Phil Simms earlier this week said that he thinks the players want 18 games. He then clarified that to a point that I think is accurate, the idea that they eventually will take it. They may not want it, but they're eventually going to take it because the owners want it badly enough. And the players have done a nice job of positioning themselves to get the best possible deal they can at the bargaining table, because they've managed to make the owners think they don't want 18 games. And you know, here's the argument that I would make if I was arguing this on behalf of the owners. I would go get highlights from games in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, because there's a level of brutality and violence that the game used to have that it just doesn't have anymore, and I think it screams out. When you just watch any of the old games, the hits, the unnecessary hits that were applied to players, guys, you know, the cleaning up of the pile, the helmet-to-helmet hit that just blows a guy up that now you get suspended for, if not immediately ejected. I think the game has become so much safer in that regard. You could make a very persuasive argument that if those guys played 16 games a year under those rules, you can play 18 games under today's rules.
I got to ask you about the Todd Gurley stuff. I just went on ProFootballTalk.com and I see Rams radio analyst says Todd Gurley was playing through injury all season long. What is that about? And is that going to impact, you know, maybe after Saquon Barkley, anyone paying running backs this much money to be their number one guy?
Well, what happened last year, late in the season, Todd Gurley's knee swelled up and they held him out of the final two regular season games. He was never quite the same in the postseason. And they admitted along the way that he did have swelling, spontaneous swelling in the knee that was surgically repaired back in 2014 with an ACL tear. He had that spontaneous swelling after week one, Monday night game against the Raiders, but they claimed it all went away. They claimed he was fine, but according to Maurice Jones-Drew, he wasn't fine, and he was dealing with it all year. Not on the injury report. Now, he didn't he didn't miss any games because of it. I don't know what his practice participation was. Sometimes guys get the veteran day off when they're actually secretly injured. But, look, here's the reality. They paid Todd Gurley a ton of money. He's clearly now moving into a phase of his career where he can't be the workhorse. When you have to worry about that knee,
right.
When he's talking about losing weight and playing at 218, so there's less of a load on that knee, he's not going to earn the money that he's been given by the Rams, and there's going to be regret there. And yeah, this is the danger of having all your eggs in one basket.
That's right.
Tailback. You end up having to pay the guy a ton of money, and there's a chance that you end up paying not for what he's going to do in the future, but what he's done in the past.
Mike, those days of the one horse going over 2,000 yards, and we talk about how great it is and the numbers are great, but my God, it shortens careers. And this is a great example of it and of what a lot of teams and why a lot of teams have two and three running backs, and you don't know. If you're playing for Belichick, you've seen how that is. There might be four or five guys, whether they fumble or they get a little nicked up, you don't know, but there's going to be a lot of guys playing. I think we're just going to see more of that, Mike, in the future.
Well, but right now, but look, you got Saquon Barkley with the Giants. You got Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys. You've got who else is floating around out there that falls into workhorse tailback category? I feel like there's three or four of them, but you're right. They burn brightly for a short period of time, and then they begin to fall off. And the problem is, they start to fall off after you've paid them. That's what happened with Sean Alexander. When the Seahawks finally paid him after the 2005 season when he was the MVP, they couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Yeah.
He immediately fell off the next season.
I've had this talk with Kenyon Drake, who wants that role, and I'm like, Kenyon, man, like, you get it, and then you get banged up, and then you don't get anything versus, he goes, yeah, but you're part-time back, then you get part-time money. And so that's the argument and why all these guys want to be – I mean, I get it. Why you want to be the guy, and the coach is thinking, I want to keep you both healthy and not put too much on you, because the days of the Ricky Williams amount of carries is a tough one, man, for sure.
Anyway. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think Saquon Barkley's a guy who can do it, though. I think he can stay healthy, and I think he can stay productive for a long time. He just seems to be built that way, but we'll see. It's easy to say that when he's entering his second year. Let's see how he's doing when he's entering year number 10.
Right.
Mike, were the Eagles kind of forced to do the big deal for Carson Wentz? Do you think that they wouldn't want to give him that much money? He's a little bit injured and didn't play. Wasn't the Super Bowl quarterback for them. Wasn't even really the quarterback the next year when they got into the playoffs either. Were they just kind of forced into that situation?
Well, no, they weren't really forced into anything because he's only 3 years in. They could have waited another year. This was a calculated risk by both sides. The Eagles buying lower than what they think they would have had to pay if he had been great this year, if he stays healthy all year long, if he stays healthy all year long, this could be a Super Bowl team again. And the price goes up dramatically for Carson Wentz if you wait a year. So they're buying kind of low, even though the numbers seem really high because we hear 4 years, $32 million per year, which is number four in new money average. Here's the reality, though. He's already under contract for two more years at about $26.7 million. The total value of this deal at signing is $25.5 million per year for 6 years. He's committed for 6 years. This is one of the criticisms that we had of the Xavien Howard contract. When you commit for 6 years at a time when a new CBA is coming, new TV deals are coming, we still don't know how much more money gambling is going to interject into the overall flow of salary cap space, but we assume it's going to be significant. Why would you commit for 6 years? And when you do, you better be ready to deal with that contract 3 years from now when you're middle of the pack at best because the cap keeps going up and you keep getting leapfrogged. And, you know, I think the Eagles are going to hope that Carson Wentz understands that when he is the 20th paid quarterback right. in the NFL 3 years from now. So I think, you know, I think it was a – because here's the thing, too. Carson Wentz can say, well, I want this, I want that. Once they put it on the table, you have to say no to it. You have to be willing to say no to it. And most guys aren't willing to say no to that because there's always that risk you're going to have an Alex Smith type of an injury and you never make the kind of money that you turned your nose up at.
Oh, like Carson Wentz already had two bad ones. Hey, the other guy, Goff, what's he do now that he sees this? Does he push to get a deal done or does he go, you know what, I'm going to take a chance with my quarterback-friendly coach and see if I can't get more? How's he treat it?
I think the Rams at some point have to look at Jared Goff and ask themselves, especially if he wants Carson Wentz money or more, they need to ask themselves, can we get the same kind of production out of a young quarterback, a cheap quarterback, a quarterback who just happens to be a guy who can learn and flourish from Sean McVay. How much of Goff is created by McVay, and how transferable is what Goff does to another quarterback? I think those are all fair questions. At some point, one of these teams is going to say, we're not paying you what you want. And Washington did that a few years ago with Kirk Cousins, who did the franchise tag game and then got big money on the open market. But I could see the Rams eventually say to Jared Goff, we're just not going to do it. Here's what we're going to pay you. You either take it or you don't. And if you don't, we'll find somebody else. And someone's going to be that guy, and I think it could be Jared Goff. The thing that still sticks in my craw, Brandon Cooks wide open third quarter of the Super Bowl on a play they ran in the first half where Cooks was wide open and Goff didn't see him.
Nope.
He didn't see him the second time either. You know, he had a half-hour halftime for Super Bowl 53 and all Super Bowls now with that long halftime performance. I'd love to know, and I'm sure we never will know, what kind of conversations McVay and Goff had? Did they say, hey, you know what, we called this play? Cooks was wide open. You didn't see him. We're going to call it again. You're going to hit him this time, right? And maybe Goff just didn't. You know, it's a championship moment, and you can argue Goff didn't rise up to it. And if that's bouncing around in McVay's brain, it may make him more likely to say, when it's time to pay Goff or go in a different direction, we're just going to go in a different direction.
Mike, what's the story with Trent Williams and the Redskins? That's one of the weirdest things I see pop up out of nowhere. What happened?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is something I had heard some stuff about, but I wasn't able to nail it down. But when he didn't show up for mandatory minicamp, that's when we posted that there's a concern there regarding the care that he received from the team's training staff, physicians, whatever. He's just not happy. I don't know what the issue is. I don't know whether he has grounds to be happy or unhappy, but he's not happy, and he reportedly wants out. CBS has reported he wants to be traded or released, and he's got teammates who are kind of, you know, in a roundabout way, vouching for him and saying it's about time somebody stands up. But he had like that brain tumor, head tumor, something like that, and he's just not happy with how the team handled it. And it's gotten to a point where he wants out. And I think they hope the passage of time, maybe he'll calm down. But for now, his mindset is I want out.
All right, and last question before we let you go. I'm assuming you might be a steak guy, right? You like go out to a steak restaurant once in a while. I like to enjoy steak.
I like making steak at my house.
Okay.
Too, but yes, absolutely.
All right. So you put ketchup on steak? Would you ever put ketchup on steak?
I would only put ketchup on steak if it was so overcooked that was the only way to eat it.
Okay.
And I was so hungry that there was nothing else that I could eat other than my shoe leather steak with ketchup on.
Okay, so then let me do everything for it. You have a nice petite filet. You have a little salad. You have some other stuff on the plate with you. I mean, it's nice. It's cooked exactly the way you want it at a restaurant. Are you going to have ketchup on it? And if you're sitting next to someone who does that, are you going to be kind of offended that they're putting ketchup
on it? Mike's
going
to bust their chops. I tell you, Mike's going to give you his best stuff.
Yeah.
No. You know what? When it comes back, I'm very libertarian when it comes to people's choices for how they eat, how they live, how they do whatever. If you want to put ketchup on a steak that I otherwise wouldn't put ketchup on, I don't care what you do. Just don't get any of that ketchup near my steak.
Okay. We just had an incident here at a WQAM little thing we did the other day.
We had one guy smother ketchup all over.
On a beautiful petite filet.
You know, Patrick Mahomes was on the Pardon My Take podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he said that when he goes out to a nice restaurant, he orders steak with ketchup, and the chef will come out and say, is there something wrong with it? No, you know, hey, I'm paying a lot of money for this steak. If I want to put ketchup on it, okay, damn it, I'm putting ketchup on it.
Okay. Good enough answer for me.
That's what a chef said today.
That's
right. Put whatever you want on it.
You're paying $75 for the filet. You should do whatever you want.
Whatever you want, exactly.
All right, Mike, have a great weekend. Thank you for that.
All right, see you, fellas.
All right, it's Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood
Hotline. That's a great way to do it, where the chef comes out and says, we've done something wrong with our steak. Is
there a problem with it? Is that why you're putting ketchup on?
No, I just put ketchup on. Mahomes does that?
Yeah, he's getting ready ketchup to get
guy. $200 million.
He's going to have a lot of ketchup for that. Thank you, Mike, for joining us. Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.